And I would really encourage, as I just felt from God a second ago, for some of you, you're on a bit of a journey back into the full relationship with God. And that God is okay with you taking time. God's okay that, because He loves you. And you know, He smiles on each one of us simply because we're giving Him a little bit of time. Whether it be in a service or whether it be a short prayer at the beginning of the day, or maybe we read a Bible verse. And through this period of time, right through, I think it is to the end of July, early August, I really sense that we can come up spiritually, not only in the atmosphere of this house, but individually toward our God. And that it's going to make a significant change, because I really did sense that God is going to bless you. Oh, I thought someone might get excited about that. God is going to bless you, guys. God is wanting to bless us. And as we worship Him, there's going to be such a blessing on our lives that it's going to go, why didn't we do this before? Why are we so slow? You know, all through the Bible, God's people were slow. But we can get there, can't we? And we can get a little bit faster at agreeing with God and knowing where He wants us in life. And that's what this whole series is about. And so we're going to look at, let's put up the first PowerPoint. I'm presuming that, oh, look at that, they're working. 40 days of purpose. And the first 2 weeks, we're going to look at, what on earth am I here for? So we are entering into 12 weeks of strategic disciple-making growth for your life. In the coming weeks, we will spend 2 Sundays on a similar topic. 6 topics will be covered. And the purpose of this next 12 weeks is to make your life count for God. And what will make this next 3 months special for you is not only your attendance here on Sunday, who's glad they came to church this morning. Yeah. All right, so it's not only about your attendance here at church, but also over the next 12 weeks, going to Connect Group. We've specifically done it this way so that we can go six times to Connect Group in the next 12 weeks each fortnight. So if you're not in a Connect Group, what do you got to do today? You got to join a Connect Group. And all the leaders of Connect Groups, you've got to be asking every time you see someone, are you in a Connect Group? Will you do that for me, leaders? Are you in a Connect Group? And if they're not, either put them in your own or you think, oh, well, they're too old or too young, put them in a group that suits them. That's all good. You see, your attendance in Connect Group is not just as important as church, in a sense. But it's only in a Connect Group where you're able to share with others on a more intimate level. Yeah. And what is so vital is actually having an intimacy with other people and a walk where, because that's when you really start to get discipled, yes? Yeah. And so no Christ follower was intended to live in isolation. Yeah. And the Bible speaks nothing of lone ranger faith. And yet everywhere in Western world particularly, we like to be lone rangers, but not us. Because the church was built for interrelationships and to enjoy our best life, it is when we connect with one another. More than 50 times in the New Testament, God speaks of one another. Interesting, hey? It is through connect groups that you find a place to belong and people to share your life with. And these are the topics we'll be covering together. What on earth am I here for? Now, some of you are thinking, I already know what I'm here for. Don't switch off. You know, God can give you a revelation. We've been in church a long time, some of us, but God can still relate to us. So this is for everyone. Worship, you were planned for God's purpose. Oh, yeah. Fellowship, you were formed for God's family. Discipleship, you were created to become like Christ. Ministry, you were shaped for serving God. And lastly, evangelism, you were made for a mission, which ties in beautifully with our whole Leap into Spring program and church planning and Africa and Southeast Asia. There's lots of good things happening in our church. So that's really cool. So two things we want you to do. Number one, what is it? Be in church. Secondly, be in a connect group. Be in church, be in a connect group. And what I would like to accomplish as an overall theme for our church over the next few months is that we sharpen our focus individually and as a church, not simply be great at fellowship in our connect group or in a after church in the cafe, or for those of us who love to have a great Bible study and get deep into God's word, which is fantastic, but it's more than that. It's actually having worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, and evangelism, the whole package. And so these five areas operating in your life, both in church and through Connect Group, will increase the temperature in your spiritual walk with God. And I believe, too, will have an impact on those who may not know Christ yet around in your life, particularly. And so allow yourself through this period of time to be fully immersed in God's purposes. Noah's life, interestingly, I'm using the principle of 40 days, even though we're going a little bit longer, but the principle still applies, okay? So Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses was transformed by 40 days on Mount Sinai. Elijah was transformed when God gave him 40 days of strength from a single meal. Wow. The entire city of Nineveh was transformed when God gave the people 40 days to change, and they did. The disciples were transformed by 45 days with Jesus after the resurrection. David was transformed by Goliath's 40-day challenge. Some of us are going to rise in our faith in this period of time. And Jesus was empowered by 40 days in the wilderness and achieved incredible things because he had the Father's heart. And one thing these people all ended up with is an increased devotion and faith for God and his purpose for their lives. And so I don't think there'd be a person in the room that say, you know what, I could actually sharpen my focus in God. A few weeks ago, Jared, my son, and myself went surfing down south past Mandra. And we took a bit of a risk. We weren't sure if the waves were going to be up enough at this particular break. And I says, I've got a hunch. I'm the old man. He's only the young one, you know. So I kind of had a hunch that this break might be working. As it turned out, it was. And Jared always beats me out there because he's young. So he's got his wetsuit and he's run off and he's in the water and I'm still on the beach, you know. I'm trying to get my breath. And I eventually paddle out. And Jared's already caught a couple of waves. And I get out the back area, take my breath. And I catch a couple of waves, and then I see as I paddled back out, and I was the furthest one out in the break, waiting for that, perhaps that big one, and there it was. I saw it out of the corner of my eye, the largest wave. And so I paddled out even further, and Jared had actually caught a wave, and he's watching me from the inside section near the shore. And I take off on the wave, and I'm thinking, this is going to be such the best wave. And I can see the barrel lining up, and so I get almost inside the barrel, and that's where it started to go all wrong. Jared tells me afterwards, he's saying, "Not Dad, not Nigel," he doesn't call me Nigel, he calls me Dad. He says, "You look so small on that wave," but not only did it actually wipe me out, I went over the falls not once, but twice. And so I go, whoof, and then woof, like this. And I kind of make my way back up to the surface through the foam, and I managed to right myself. And it was right at that moment that I had to make a decision. Was I going to get back on my board and catch another wave and learn from my experience? Or was I going to let it defeat me? And I decided, no, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to keep surfing. And I'm going to surf and I'm going to learn from my mistake and I'm going to do it better next time. And that's what this 40 days of purpose is all about. It's actually about getting back up every time you get floored by the enemy or something happens in your circumstances. It's actually saying, regardless of how I might be wiped out in life, I will get back up because my God is for me. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand this morning. So what on earth am I here for? Oh, thanks, Betty. Betty said to encourage us. What on earth am I here for? Man, let's put up this PowerPoint. I'm presuming we've got the stump. All right. A life devoted to things is a dead life. This is Proverbs 11:28. A life devoted to things is what? A dead life. A stump. A God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. Interestingly, on this stump, look, I think you would recognize that there's other things growing on it. When we don't have a life that is focused on God's purpose for our life, other things attach themselves to our life and we never end up achieving the life that God has for us. So let's put up the next picture. I want to show you this Boab tree. Who's ever been up the Northwest? All right, some of you, who'd like to go now? Let's go on holidays together. We're doing it. We're going on camp together. All right. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they grow right on producing delicious fruit. So here we have a Boab tree. Look around it. It's all dry. Everything's dead. Everything around it. But this Boab tree is full of life. Because when we have a life in God, there is resources. Our soul is nourished and we are able to actually maintain, though everything around us might be going wrong, we can still stand and we can still say, my God is my God, nothing will defeat me. And so blessed are those who have a relationship with God, yes? Blessed are you if you have a relationship with God, whether it be a little in faith or much, it doesn't matter. Once you start to relate with God, your life is going to be more and more blessed. You are going to have reserves. You are going to be able to produce great fruit, even in terrible seasons, because your God will keep you. And so, if you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born for His purpose and for His purpose. And the search for the purpose of life has puzzled people for thousands of years. And that's because we typically begin with a wrong starting point ourselves. Oh, but what about me? My kids never say that. What about, and we all, don't we? Myself, absolutely included. We all think of ourselves. And we think because our focus just tends to go there. Am I right? There's things that we enjoy and want to actually enjoy our life. And God doesn't want you to not enjoy your life. Yeah? God wants you to have a fantastic life. How are you going to have an even more fantastic life? It's because you've actually got your life in God's hands, and then there's a blessing because your purpose is found in doing God's will for your life and not your own, which makes you miserable after 5 minutes. Am I right? So focusing on ourselves is not the answer. Let's put up this next PowerPoint, Colossians 1:16. For everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Yeah. Contrary to many popular books, who's read lots of books on motivational speaking and all those different things? They're not bad books, they're great. But the difference is the speakers, the movies, even insurance companies, it's all about you. Seminars you go to, you won't find life's meaning within yourself. And the reason for that is because you didn't make yourself, you were made by God. There is no way that you can tell yourself what you were created for. You exist only because God wills that you exist. And you were made by God and for God. It is through God you discover your origin. It's through God you discover your identity, your meaning, your purpose, your significance, and your destiny. Every other path you choose to take will lead you to a dead end. You exist for God, not God, interestingly, for you. Hey? Hey! Not God for you! Lord, what are you going to do for me? Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. Lord, tell my parents to buy me that thing. Lord, please help me in my exams. I know I haven't studied that hard, but please help me. Are we getting the picture here? Lord God, we are created to give the Lord pleasure. We are created to worship God. We are created, and these are the things we're going to learn over these period of weeks, that we are created for God's purpose, not for our purposes. I heard about, I know some of Greg Newell works for Somerville Baptist, and my son goes there, and the machine gun preacher was there. Who's watched the movie? I won't give the movie away. And it was a fantastic event. Thanks for putting that on, Greg. This reformed drug addict, who is in bikie gangs and you name it, if you've watched the movie, I won't give too much away, like I said. But he's currently feeding 3,500 children per day and has raised millions of dollars for schooling and orphanages in southern Sudan and northern Uganda. He has a motorcycle business in Indiana, and most of the profits go to help those disadvantaged in Africa. God has given him a purpose beyond his wildest dreams. He has gone from being totally self-absorbed to living out a life filled with purpose and hope. You could equally be a complete success by the world's standards. You have accomplished your lifelong goals. You've aimed high, you've been disciplined, you've never given up, and become extremely successful in what you do. But being successful and fulfilling your life's purpose are not at all the same issue. Matthew 16:25. If you try and keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. The alternative to speculation about your life is revelation. God gives you revelation about how great your life can be. And when you start asking God about your life, when you start to search His Word, you will discover your life's purpose. And God is not just the starting point of your life, He is the source of it. The eternal truths of God's word will build your life according to His plan. Have a look at this scripture. I'll put it up on the screens. Ephesians 1:11. Because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for He chose us from the beginning, and all things happen just as He decided long ago. You discover your identity and purpose through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And God was thinking of you long before you even thought about Him. And the purpose of your life fits into a cosmic purpose that God has designed for eternity. So when we sing Holy, Holy like we did, and John Don mentioned it, that it talks about it in Revelation, the book of Revelation in the Bible, it's actually us actually getting ready for our eternal life. Amazingly, God decided your nationality, when you would be born, how long you will live. The Bible says He planned your days in advance. So regardless of the circumstances of your birth, come on, it doesn't matter if you've got God. Regardless of who your parents are, God has a plan in creating you. There are no illegitimate children in God. He never makes mistakes. He never has an accident. He has a reason for everything that He creates. You are not an accident. Look at this quote from Albert Einstein. Even the brainy ones got it. God doesn't play dice. Your birth was no mistake or mishap. Your life is no fluke of nature. God was not surprised by your birth. Like, oh my goodness. In fact, he expected it. He was rejoicing. Long before you were conceived by parents, you were conceived in the mind of God. And you are made for God's purposes. You are made to last forever. God has put eternity, let's put it up there. God has put eternity in the hearts of men. This life is not all there is. Gee, I'm glad about that. Some of you are saying. We all have bad seasons in life, but with God we get through them and we get into a better season. Always. And life on earth is just a dress rehearsal for the real production. You will spend far more time on the other side of death in eternity than you will here. And earth is a staging area of your life. The tryout for your life in eternity. And you may live to be 100 here on earth. There's some of us are getting quite close to that. Let's pray they do. But you get to live forever in eternity. Forever. You have an inborn instinct that longs for immortality. And this is because God designed you in his image to live for eternity. Even though we know everyone eventually dies, death always seems unnatural and unfair, am I right? And the reason we feel we should live forever is because God wired our brains this way. It's interesting because I've had these thoughts in my head, and my next door neighbours actually gave me a crayfish yesterday. That was lovely. I haven't been out for a few months. He felt sorry for me. Anyway, they're both in their 80s. Great people. And my elderly neighbours, one of them was saying that they're finding it really had really difficult and actually scared for their life. Here's people in their 80s and they're scared for their life. Isn't it often true that we only ever think about our eternity when we go to funerals? I've been to a few funerals with my family next door. I guess you start to think about it. And the reason we live, the reason it seems unfair is because, like I said, there's more to life than just this life. Look at this. Let's put it up on the screen. Genesis 5:22. Enoch lived in close fellowship with God. Enoch lived 365 years in all. He enjoyed a close relationship with God throughout his life. Then he suddenly disappeared because God took him. Enoch lived in a time the Bible scholars call a corrupt age. Probably not that dissimilar to our modern day. Yet Enoch is mentioned through this corrupt age of time as a man who had a close relationship with God. And then he was no more. Not that he was dead, but rather, let's look at it because Hebrews picks up on it. Next scripture, up on the screen. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Church, it was what? By faith. It was by faith. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Suddenly he disappeared because God took him. But before he was taken up, he was approved as pleasing God. Well, I think the least we can do on earth, all of us, this morning is attempt, at least attempt to please God. Yeah. And the Lord removed him from earth to heaven, body and soul. And so, Ayana, if you'd like to come and just sit there again, please. We had a bit of, I know we had a bit of fun last time. God is pleased with people. Come on. God is pleased with people who walk with him and carry out his purposes for their life. And while life on earth offers many choices, eternity offers only two. Heaven or hell. Has to be said. And it is your relationship to God on earth that will determine your relationship to him in heaven or in eternity. C.S. Lewis said this. Interesting, all those movies are coming back, hey? There are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. Tragically, many people will have to endure eternity without God. Because they chose to live without him here on earth. And when you fully comprehend there is more to life than just here and now, you will begin to live differently. You will start living a light in light of eternity. And all of us, whether we are, have been Christians a while or not, we can all start to live a little bit more in light of eternity. Amen? A little bit more about the purposes of God for our life rather than what am I going to eat for breakfast and how my day is going to go and bring the kids. And we don't even think about God. We need to start focusing more on what God has for our life for eternity here on earth. See, it will affect how you handle every relationship when you really get a hold of it. Of God's life. It changes how you do life with other people. Because now you have God's love and God's heart. It changes the whole atmosphere of everyone around you. Many activities, goals, and even just think back to the machine gun preacher. My goodness. Suddenly he's got love for all these people. And before all he had was hatred. And here we are, Christians. We've got to have this even more, surely. We've got to actually be able to love one another and then love our community at large. Yeah. And so many activities, goals, and even problems that seem to be so important will appear trivial, petty, and unworthy of your attention because you're no longer living in the earthly zone. You're living in the faith zone. So, Yana, just do your thing. See, the closer you live for God, the smaller everything else appears. If your time on earth were all there is to life, I would suggest you start living it up immediately. Be totally indulgent. Be totally self-focused. Do not worry about consequences to your actions. But death is not the end of you. Every act of our lives strikes a chord that will vibrate into eternity. Think longer term. Short-term living has damaging results. And the only time most people think about eternity, as I've said, is at funerals. But if you are honest, only a fool would go through life unprepared for what we all know will eventually happen. You need to think about eternity more, not less. Why don't we stand on our feet this morning? Father God. Father God. Let me read to you this scripture, Hebrews 13. For this world, let me say it again. For this world is not our home. We are looking forward to our city in heaven, which is yet to come. Why don't we bow our heads this morning, close our eyes. You may be a Christian this morning. You may have received Christ. But you are not living for eternity. you need to get back in a right relationship with God today, and I want to give you opportunity to raise your hand in a little while and say, yeah, Nigel, please pray for me. And you may not have a relationship with God here in this auditorium, and you need to get in a relationship with God and start living your life from an eternal perspective. You have God in your DNA. Eternity is at stake today for Christians and non-Christians, because just because you say that you are a believer in God, there has to be a relationship with God. There has to be a walk with Him. You have to have faith in Him every day of your life. And so this morning, what on earth am I here for was the title. You are here. You were designed by God. You are not an accident. You are here for God's plans and purposes. He wants to have relationship with you. He wants to build into you precepts from His Word, which He has given us. That's why it's called the Holy Bible, so that we can live according to His life. And He will bring blessing into your life. And He will help you when things are down. And when the seasons are low, we still have those seasons, but we have a God that is far bigger, who will help us through every circumstance in life. And so this morning, if you need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please don't leave this place without raising your hand and praying a prayer with me today. And maybe you've known God a long time, but perhaps it's kind of religious. Or it's, yeah, I believe, but I don't really have the connection that I've been talking about today. Will you reconnect to God today? Will you accept what He has done for you? God loves you. He wants to smile upon you. Have a relationship today. So if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you opportunity to do that. This morning, you're backslidden, you're away from God, you know you need to come back to Him today. Don't miss this opportunity. God cares. He wants to put purpose back into your heart, that you may do life with Him in His house, with other brothers and sisters, and enjoy the best moments of His life with Him. On the count of three, if you're in those two categories, pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. I do want to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. So this morning, you need to receive Christ. You haven't received Him. You need to get in a relationship with Him. This morning, you're backslidden, you're away from God, you need to come back to Him, you know who you are, or you're not sure you're going to heaven. On the count of three, pop up your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. One, two, three. Thank you, I see your hand. Anyone else this morning? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Anyone else before we draw this meeting to a close? Anyone else say the air? Yeah. I need to get back in right relationship with God. Doesn't matter if you've done it before. Make a recommitment. God doesn't want you to admit. Yep, thank you. Another hand, thank you. Anyone else this morning? Say, yeah, that's me. Purpose, yep, thank you. Thank you. God's moving. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Those people, would you mind just coming to the front? I'd love to pray for you. Would you please come out of your seat? Even if you've come with a friend, please come. That's fine. Please come. I'd love to pray with you. Is there anyone else this morning as these ladies and gentlemen are coming? Anyone else say, yeah, I need to get my life totally 100% right with God? Thank you, God. Hello, Melissa.
Good to see you.
Welcome back. Oh, fantastic. Hello. I'm Nigel. Nice to see you. What's your name? Veronica?
Veronica.
Veronica.
No, Veronique.
Veronique? Is that better now? Veronique. Perfect, thanks. Veronique. Let's pray. This is Pastor Charlie. He'd love to give you a Bible and just pray over you after, but let's pray this sinner's prayer together, shall we? So Melissa and Veronique. Veronique, yeah. Father God, why don't you pray the prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. Come into my heart right now. Forgive me of all my sin. I turn to you. I want to live for you. Take leadership in my life from this point forward. The past is the past. It's forgotten. I will live for you. In Jesus' name. The people of God said, amen. Come on, let's give these ladies a hand. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Charlie just wants to give you a Bible and just take 1 minute and then you can come back into the service. Thanks. Excellent. Come on, let's give God a hand this morning, church.